there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring they're tight sealed. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2, or I should say Bula, which is welcome in Fijian. And I should also say Vanaka, thank you. For sticking around for hour two. We got a full plate right here ready to serve up for you. Latest diving news and information. And we're going to check in with some of our friends. One right now is on the line, a guy named Alex Brilski. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, Greg. What are you doing, bud?
Good, good. Now, you know Alex Brilski possibly by, you know, the Diving Encyclopedia. He pretty much wrote the book on diving. Works for Dive Training Magazine. He does stuff with them all the time on the magazine, which is, by the way, the best dive magazine on the planet. Damn. And now you've added another title to your plethora
of titles.
I continue
to be a legend in my own mind, as a matter of fact.
No, you're a legend in many. A legend in many, for sure. And I don't say that lightly, but Alex literally, he really did write the book on diving. I kid you not. And now you're doing some stuff with Divers Alert Network, right, Alex?
Absolutely. I'm real pleased. A few months ago, I came on board Dan, in the capacity as training consultant, and we're doing some pretty interesting and fun things, as a matter of fact.
Well, explain. What does this mean? Do you just go in and say, hey, we need to teach these divers this now, or what?
Well, that's actually not too far off. My main role is basically helping Dan better serve the dive community here in Florida. I am tasked specifically to work only in Florida. And what I'm doing essentially is developing educational programs and conducting courses and seminars that kind of bring the Dan message out as far as, you know, what's happening in the realm of the diving safety, what dive statistics are telling us, and, you know, just having a better, presenting a better interpretation, I guess, is the best way of saying it as far as the picture of diving safety.
Yeah, are we talking about things like dive profiles, for instance, as opposed to looking at a standard safety stop of 15 feet for 3 minutes to look at a gradual ascent from depth, or what?
Those are the kinds of issues we're looking at. In fact, the way we're introducing it is with a new seminar series we're calling Diving Safety Myths and Misconceptions. And what we've done in that one-hour program is take about 8 or 10 misconceptions divers have about safety and then use those as a context for discussion. And in fact, one of the principal discussions we have in that that seminar is what's happening with the proliferation of all the dive tables, dive models, dive computers, etc. Divers are probably becoming a bit more confused than ever, and this is an opportunity to kind of explain, you know, what is out there. You know, what are these black boxes all about? You know, what are the models based on? Why are they different? Why do you get different values on the same dive, for example, using a different computer, and then talk about issues that are coming up, especially with the advent of the new RGBM model and the increasing popularity of deeper stops, and, you know, just kind of, you know, dispel myths about what diving safety is and is not all about. Heard an interesting comment in a seminar recently. A diver talked about what he perceived as some form of mini bins for whatever. And when I pressed him on that, it was kind of his assumption that, well, the kinds of decompression sickness that recreational divers get isn't as serious as military divers, and therefore he had this assumption that that there was a different kind of bends, and he was unfortunately hard pressed to learn that bends is bends, doesn't matter whether you're in civilian clothes or not.
Right.
And actually, the other interesting thing is the form of bends that recreational divers present with tends to be more serious than that of military and commercial divers, and that's one of the things we talk about as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember at the tech diving conference that Dan sponsored this past year and the year before, talking to some of the commercial divers like John Chatterton and Richie Kohler and some of those guys who do some of that salvage work and that kind of stuff. What do they call it where they just get a tingling in their knuckles, like the numbles or nimbles or
the
something?
The term is niggles.
Niggles.
Niggles, yes. It's the niggles. Yeah, it's been used for a long time to describe a non-specific sensation of, that in fact, many people when they describe a decompression illness symptoms, they talk about a pain like they have never felt before, not necessarily in terms of intensity, but just unusual. And this term niggle has often been used to kind of put a handle on that difficult to describe symptomology.
Okay, so that would that pain wouldn't necessarily be just in your knuckles, or it'd be in any joint.
Any pain that really feels all the way it's often described is that they can't put their finger on it. It's unlike anything I've felt before.
How are you supposed to tell the doctor that, I think I have the niggles and not start to bust out laughing?
Or get sued, yeah, or,
exactly.
Or burn off the air.
Right.
Well, if it's a diving doc, they're well versed and well familiar with not only the term but the fact that it's often difficult for DCS victims to accurately describe their symptoms, because often it's the first time it's ever happened to them, and these pains are somewhat different than the classic strain and the kinds of things, traumatic type injuries.
Well, Alex, you've been doing this for many, many years, and I know you have a plethora of research at your disposal, both that you've conducted yourself and now that you have access, I would imagine, or probably pretty much had access to it all along from Divers Alert Network and their studies.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing overall for recreational diving? Is it getting more conservative, or are we being able to test the limits a little bit more than we thought a few years ago because technology is getting better and the research is better, or what?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. In fact, this is another discussion right out of the new seminar. Like I describe it, the good news is that since the advent of all the new tables and computers, et cetera, the incidence of decompression illness hasn't really changed. And I say the bad news is that the incidence of decompression illness hasn't really changed. What I mean by that is that you would think with all the refinement and what we've learned in the years that we would start seeing a decrease, and we haven't. The incidence, and let me just address that for a second, as a matter of perspective, because it can sound pretty gloomy, with all of the emphasis on what can go wrong. But DCI is still, a very rare instance, three or four cases in about every 10,000 dives. So it's not something divers commonly see. And in fact, I have never seen a confirmed case of decompression sickness while I've been diving.
Yeah, knock on wood. Who wants to? Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, these are good issues, because these are the kinds of things that, divers in their entry level training and even beyond really don't get into or get a chance to discuss very much. And with Dan's research database and the annual diving accident analysis, we can kind of put some numbers behind this and say, okay, here's what's happening out there. By the way, I'd also mention that the Dan accident report is now available free of charge as a downloadable PDF file, so you can get that from the Dan homepage.
Yeah, just go to diversalertnetwork.org, and of course we got a link to it right there from Scuba Radio. It's great stuff to read, not just for entertaining if you're interested in diving, but learning from other people's mistakes, because unfortunately what I always see in those reports are, okay, here's where the person went wrong, here's what they didn't do right. Very seldom it's an equipment malfunction. That hardly ever happens. It's always some rule, some basic rule was violated. Is that what you see usually, too, in these type of things?
Yeah, we have a very strong safety record when it comes to equipment reliability. And when there are equipment-related issues, it's not the design or the malfunction of the equipment, or it's really a maintenance issue or lack of proper use. So I would really say that, having to worry about scuba equipment, those days have long, long gone. It's still, as in aviation, it's operator error generally, and people doing some pretty bonehead things. And then the other issue is as the diving public ages, we start, heart disease is becoming a much more prevalent issue, and it kind of confuses things because, when someone succumbs to a heart attack in the water, the autopsy usually says drowning. And then, of course, unlike if you have a heart attack on the golf course, that's a heart attack. But if you have a heart attack while scuba diving, it's a diving accident. We have a lot of baggage that accompanies accidents that happen to people in the water that would never, ever be questioned if it happened in their local grocery store.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, that's what you read when you look at some of these reports. You can't put two and two together and realize that, hey, this really wasn't a diving accident anyway. Mm-hmm. Technically, they were diving, but something else happened.
Exactly, and heart disease is definitely a big issue right now.
Yeah, on the upswing for most Americans, unfortunately. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, Alex, but that wouldn't...
Come on, Greg.
That's not my job. Come on. Now, you've been, I know you followed this story, just like every member of the dive industry, about this couple in Australia that's had this real-life open-water experience, right?
Yes, I think, yeah. You're not talking about the one that happened relatively recently?
Yeah. And they were wearing really thick wetsuits. They had a water bottle with them. It just looked a little suspicious. What, you got any comment about that, or what have you heard on your radar?
Well, I think I've not heard probably anything more than anyone else, but I think it's, when you take a look at the details as you've described, it certainly looks a little more than fishy.
Yeah, exactly. No pun intended, but it looks a little suspicious, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. Oh, we'll have to, I guess time will tell, and if they are trying to pull one off on people, then it'll catch up to them eventually.
Hey, what goes around comes around.
But it probably won't catch up with them until after the movie is made, is my guess.
Of course, absolutely.
Right. All right. Well, Alex, good luck on the new position.
I appreciate that. And if I could just end, Greg, by encouraging any dive organizations, dive centers, clubs, et cetera, that have an interest in hosting one of the Dan seminars. These are free of charge. They're brought to you by Dan in the interest of dive safety. If they could contact me and if you could provide them perhaps my contact information on your website, I'd be happy to give them the details and available dates.
You got it. We will do that indeed. Alex Brilski. Of course, if you go to diversalertnetwork.org and say, hey, I want to talk to Alex Brilski, I'm sure they'll hook you up as well. But we'll get that up on the website at Scuba Radio. You got it. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hey, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock. It was a rock.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Lobster. Yes, that is on the minds of most Floridians, if you're a diver, because we're literally just a few weeks away from the beginning of Florida spiny lobster season. Now, when I was out in California right before Fiji, or hanging out with all the divers out there on the left coast, and I got to say, I was intentionally pimping them. I was talking smack, left coast, east coast. trying to start my own little rapper type tour thing, East Coast, Left Coast, West Coast type of fight thing in the diving community. Because I have heard from the East Coast divers, myself being one of them, that the lobster here are faster and quicker and harder to catch than they are on the Left Coast. And the reasoning has been is that the water on the Left Coast is cooler. It's colder.
Right.
You know, it hovers in the 60s as opposed to the 70s.
Right.
And higher for our Florida divers.
Okay, but let me throw this out there.
Okay, throw it out there.
If, and we'll just go with your line of reasoning, that the West Coast, the California lobster, is a slower-moving opponent
critter.
In the water.
Yes.
You got to do a heck of a lot more to force yourself to get into the Pacific Ocean than you do to get yourself into the Caribbean.
Brr.
Because, quite honestly, my quarter-inch thick hood is not enough to convince me that I should get into the Pacific Ocean and swim about in them kelp forests.
Well, it may be that the lobsters aren't slower, but the divers are slower. Because they're frozen solid?
Because it's possible. It's possible.
Unless they're diving a dry suit?
Even if they are.
but you know, here's what the California divers kicked it back on me, too. They flipped it and said, well, hey, wait a minute. You know, here on the Left Coast, we're not allowed to use tickle sticks. We can't use nets. And we can't use nooses or, you know, loopers, which is what I use here in Florida. We can use those on the East Coast or in Florida. They can't. They can only use their hand.
Oh.
So, and I was talking to one of the divers about how he catches his lobster, and his technique was, well, I sneak up behind the lobster, I literally trap it, because they're so fast, you can't grab them. You actually literally have to come down and come up to the back of the lobster and slam it against the ground or the bottom of the ocean, and then you can grab it, because if you try to grab it, He'll be able to escape your grasp because they're too fast.
Wait, Greg. You got to slam it to the bottom. Now, how's that? That's less eco-impacting, right? Let's slam it against the car.
That's what he started saying. Well, you know, these loopers, you guys use these looper things, and, man, that's not good. And I explained to him just that. I said, wait a minute. Those are more environmentally sensitive for the lobster than doing a hand grab. But that's why the California, you know, they don't let you use nets, tickle sticks, and loopers because they think that's an unfair advantage, and maybe they think it's, you know, less environmentally sensitive for the lobsters. I think it's just the opposite, though. I agree with you. I mean, if they're trapping them like that, that doesn't seem like, I mean, God forbid it's a lobster that has eggs and they didn't see it and they slam it like that. Surely he's going to lose they're going to lose a horn, they're going to lose a leg or two or something like that. And, you know, lobsters probably don't want to be body slammed. I'm guessing it probably
stresses them. I would say you're probably right.
A tad, but I don't know. Are they faster, slower? I'm going with they're slower, and you know it's much tougher to catch lobster in Florida because that's where I catch my lobster.
Notice so that was in the single.
Yes,
that was singular, not plural.
So anything
that's where I catch my lobster.
I just had an epiphany. How about a giant vacuum bottle? And then it sucks the water and the lobster right in. And then you pull
It would be indiscriminate. Next thing you know, you're sucking in turtles and things like
that. Well, not that big.
I don't know. It might be tough. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going with that theory because that makes me look better.
Yes. I can see where you would go with that theory.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The Left Coast divers, you know, of course I put it off on, hey, there's these people on the East Coast saying you guys are a bunch of wusses. You know, and little did they know it was me.
They knew, Craig. They knew.
Yes. I have to have my fun somehow, don't I? But I got to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to go searching around for your fun. Yeah, you were, when in California, gearing up for your flight to Fiji with the mermaids.
This is true.
I can see where you've got to search around, desperately trying to find places where you can have your fun, Greg.
Yeah, I do. And by the way, the Scuba Show, record attendance this year. Hats off to their 20-year anniversary. ScubaShow.com. We'll be there again next year talking smack with all the Left Coast lobster hunters. It's our role. I got to do this.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
Last week,
stop it.
Fiji, F-I-J-I, capital letters. Yes, I was in Fiji. It's good to be me sometimes. It is indeed. We look good. You know, even more, even better than normal because our entire Scuba Radio crew was outfitted with waterproof wetsuits. We had 3 mil Capri waterproof wetsuits. And I got to say, we turned heads. And we needed them. And Fiji, believe it or not.
Or could you turn your head?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, these things are the most comfortable wetsuit you could ever put on. Check them out, waterproof-gear.com on the web. But we were styling, you know, so, and we needed them because the water temp in Fiji, believe it or not, it did surprise me. It was a lot cooler than I expected in Fiji. Hmm. Now, yeah, the water is cool in California. That's a given. But in Fiji, I was expecting tropical-like conditions. And could have we went without a wetsuit? Yeah, you could have, but it was probably hovering in around 67, 68 degree water temp, which is, no, wait, no, I take that back. It was like 70, 74, 76. Yeah. So it was a little cool, on some of the dives, and it was kind of rainy. You know, we're in a rainforest area, and the particular area we were diving is evidently the rainy side of Fiji or of Nandi.
It's a waterproof wetsuit you had?
Yeah, it's the name of the brand. It's the waterproof.
So, well, water does actually go through it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's a wetsuit. Waterproof is the brand, waterproof-gear.com. But they fit so well, a 3 mil wetsuit keeps you as warm as a 5 mil on nice. Typical market. The way they put them together and sew them together and that kind of thing, they're very impressive. They're very stylish, and they fit very, very well. But we needed them in Fiji, and I just wanted to throw that out there that when you see the videos at scubaradio.com that we took, you're going to see four divers that look very well coordinated. I mean, we all have, you know, not just that we swim well, but we are color coordinated with our waterproof wetsuit. We look good. And that's what, you know, that's 90% of diving is looking good.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen, and look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
Yeah, now I'm going down.
All right, so, you know, Jimmy the Helper Boy brings up the fact that, yeah, you guys probably do look good in your waterproof wetsuits. We'll see those, what, in about a year?
Yeah.
On the website, all the videos, the pictures. We are working feverishly to get our website updated with those pictures. And I will tell you, we got a bunch of good stuff. As a matter of fact, the last three trips we've done were stockpiled on pictures and video. And the reason we're so behind is that literally, you know, we've been traveling for the last 2 months. And we're in the studio twice, really one and a half, because the one time we literally flew out right after the show. So, you know, the next week or two, give or take there, we are going to get caught up on a lot of that stuff on the website. So look to scubaradio.com for the videos from Fiji, from our Explorer Ventures Live Aboard, where we had Mermaid Abby underwater in a mermaid outfit with sharks. And they got a little too close. A grouper that actually tried to take a chunk out of her.
A groper.
Yep. Tried to grope her. Top, actually. We got that on video. That is all coming to the website very, very soon. So keep checking back at scubaradio.com.
Yeah, that's Greg, I'm sure it's really the real reason is that you have to filter out all the pictures and videos for family-friendly content.
Oh, no. No, it's all it's totally uncensored, and we've pulled it.
Yeah.
We have a new leaf, and we're just going to put it all up there at scubaradio.com. Matter of fact, I brought a brand new camera to Fiji, an Olympus 1030 SW. That's the new version of their, you know, underwater camera that you can take 33 feet underwater without a housing.
Nice.
And you can drop it from 5 feet, and it's shockproof. So that's the new Olympus camera. We use that for, like, topside rainforest-type pictures. And then, of course, I had my underwater video, and we had a couple underwater cameras we used to capture all the underwater life. But that Olympus camera was pretty impressive, especially when we took the hike up the trail to the waterfall. That was where the mermaids made their first, presentation there on the island in Fiji. And the islanders, our tour guide in particular, was quite impressed.
It is where the Fijians were first exposed.
Exactly.
To the mermaids.
This is true. And it was quite impressive. It was quite a trek up to this waterfall. But it was, we got pictures, and once again, you'll see those at scubaradio.com very soon, as well as video. But yeah, the tour guide, he was kind of like the women in the village as well. They're kind of looking like, what is she doing? What is she doing? And he's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, the universal language of mermaids. I'm telling you, mermaids, scuba radio mermaids, could end war on this planet, I think. It'd bring everybody together. It really would. Because they'd all just stop and gawk. You know what I mean, Bill? You hear what I'm saying?
I do hear what you're saying.
And you don't think it'd work?
It might work. There's a possibility that gawking could replace war.
Yeah. They say it lowers blood pressure if you gawk at a woman's bosom for 90 seconds a day.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Oh, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Cavern, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right, already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas. Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to CoralCavernsResort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. CoralCavernsResort.com.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Clam, clam, clam chowder, clam, clam, singing louder, clam, clam, clam chowder, man, I dig them clams. Well, I like them clams and I like their style. Nothing on the faces but a great big smile, saying, come on, darling, and play a while. Man, I dig them clams. Come on, boys.
Yes, clams. We had some clams in Fiji. They served them up, and speaking of shellfish and similar marine critters, lo and behold, we got Mermaid Abby on the phone right now. How you doing, Abby?
Good afternoon, Greg. Nice to hear from you again.
Yes, now... I just want to clarify this because earlier in the show we said that one of our mermaids had been, I don't know, retained or subdued in Homeland Security when we were trying to import our kava back into the country. Was that you or Mermaid X?
Well, you know, I did have a bit of a cavity search, so yeah, that was me.
Yeah, well, was that Homeland Security or was that the guy you met with the sandals at the airport?
You know what? Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, he did not have a badge, so it might have just been some random person. But either way, I had a good time.
Exactly.
So, actually, I was detained before flying out to Fiji. Something about me and, you know, something about me looked very suspicious. So they checked my bag very thoroughly. So, you know, apparently I look like a threat to all of them. Yeah. All the other passengers on the plane.
It was probably all the scales and the fishy smell was getting to them. So what's going on
here?
Well,
they did say something looks fishy here.
Yeah, of course they did. Yes.
So clever.
Yeah, now we were going to do our kava ceremony, but of course we had to postpone. We're going to try to do this again next weekend, you think? What do you think? Bill's all excited. He's ready to make his lips go numb.
Yes, well, definitely we are planning on coming next Saturday. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it today, and I am having kava withdrawals, so I'm looking forward to it. And I put in a phone call to Mermaid X, and it looks like next weekend is a go.
Okay, well, that'll work. And in the meantime, Bill, if it'll make you feel any better, I'll just punch you in the mouth. And it'll make your lips go.
I think that's a good alternative,
great. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah, it'll give you the same kind of feeling, and you may not feel as relaxed as you do on the kava, but we'll get that numb feeling, a little warm-up to the kava ceremony. But by the way, we didn't. I almost bought a kava, an official Fijian kava bowl right before we came back to the States, but I passed because we were so overloaded on baggage. What are we going to use? Because we have to have a proper vessel to conduct this ceremony in, right?
Well, you know, I don't have a beautiful Fijian kava bowl. However, I do have a very nice ceramic bowl that I actually made myself with my own two hands, and I painted. So I think, it's not traditional, but it might work. It might be a scuba radio tradition.
But you made your own bowl? What is this, like in crafts class? What
sure
are you doing?
Sure she did, Greg.
Yeah. Yes, it turns out that beside being an expert diver and mermaid, I'm also quite a sculptor. It's a little known talent. People don't know I have it.
Okay.
So maybe I'm going to bring my bowl, and Mermaid X and I are going to go looking for coconuts and cut them in half, and we'll have our little drinking bowls. We'll be good to go.
Yeah, you're supposed to drink your kava out of coconut cups that they make out of, coconut shells there, Jimmy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Interesting. I heard all the mermaids had their own mermaid
bowls.
What? I heard all the mermaids had their own mermaid bowls.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they do. But you take the coconut, the brown little round ball of a coconut, right? Cut it in half, and you drink out a half of it, and the mermaids use the other half as part of their uniform.
I would be banging them together like I'm on a horse, but that's
well, you could do that too.
But, wow, yeah. Well, you know, the reason that we want to use the coconut shells is that it's economical. We can have a little snack, we can make them in the bowl, and then after we're done, we can make mermaid tops out of them.
Oh,
we're
cool.
Good to go.
There you go. See?
All aspects are covered.
Remember, if you know how to properly use your nuts efficiently, then that makes you a better person. That's what we learned on the island of Fiji. Right, Abby?
Yes, that's right, that's right. That's a lesson that you could teach the guys back there at the studio as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, use your nuts appropriately.
Yeah, coconut.
Mermaid X and I did learn how to build a house out of coconuts, so we will survive in the wild at any, you know, point in time.
Yeah, all right. Well, and by the way, what was the technique of getting the kava back in the country? Did she have to ingest it first, or do we know?
Let's just say there was a special compartment that she placed the kava in.
Oh, no.
And a 24-hour waiting period?
A little less. It depends on what you're eating. But, you know, I'll just leave it at that, and all the listeners can use their imagination on how the Scuba Radio Kava was imported to the country.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right, Abby. Well, we will we'll look forward to that kava next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I missed you guys at the studio. Send my wishes to everybody there. And next week, we're all going to get numb and have a good time.
All right. There you go. We're going to get numb. Hey, maybe we have to pull out the Pink Floyd and drink our kava. Yeah.
Comfortably numb.
Yes. Because that is, it is. That's what it does. It like numbs your tongue, your teeth, your mouth, your throat.
What is it, made with blowfish or something?
I don't know.
Breathless with anticipation.
And it tastes like dirty water.
Outstanding.
All right.
Yeah.
Give me
I'll
some
have two.
You have two?
I'll have two.
No. You do multiple rounds of kava. So you know the size of a coconut, right? You know,
yeah.
A little cup.
Yeah.
Right? You fill that thing up, and there's three levels. There's low tide, which is a small amount of kava. There's high tide, which is up to the rim. And then there's tsunami, which
great.
Is like they actually get a bigger cup, and they call that tsunami. So you get low tide, high tide, or tsunami. Of course, we'll be doing tsunamis.
I'll have my tide with bleach.
And you really don't, you're not really a kava drinker until you get up into the double digits.
Are we allowed to drink that since Bill and I, we weren't there, so.
You have livers, right?
I think so. I got a couple lobes left, I think.
Okay. You know, just, you might want to have a liver transplant on standby.
I'll bring a cooler.
No, it's one of those herbal supplement things, but there, a few years ago, there were some issues about whether or not, you know, your liver might fall out if you drink too much of that stuff.
Bill, you still have the hard water in there from Dominica Dive Fest last year? We'll crack that open, too.
Yeah.
Well, the reason
we still have that in here is because I'm smart enough not to drink things that don't look like they're consumable.
Yeah. Actually, the taste of the hardwood and kava, not that far apart.
Well, you guys have fun. Right. I'll document
great.
It for posterior.
Actually, no, I got to say, kava is a little tastier. Smells better. You know, when you compare it to hardwood.
Hardwood tastes like glass without the GL.
And smells like shit.
Fuzz.
Yes, it smells really bad.
Do you ever think of where your sentence is going to end, Greg?
Shoes. It smells like shoes, I'm telling you.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
The world's first radio show devoted to getting down. I am Greg the Dive Master. This is Scuba Radio, and this is, you know, we're almost through today's broadcast. Next week we will have a kava ceremony live on the air. Another first. You know, here we are doing all this stuff for the first time. Trip to Fiji, zip lining, live on the radio. Who would have thunk it? And and next week we're going to have a kava ceremony. Will we survive? Only you will find out if you come and join us next week on the big show. You know, when we were in Fiji also, we did debut the new Scuba Radio Mermaid Tales. You know, Mermaid Abby didn't mention that when we talked to her moments ago, but literally they were wearing brand new outfits. They looked quite impressive, and they were even more functional than fashionable.
They were made out of air.
Not air. However, they were equipped with the new Finis monofins.
Oh.
Yeah, cool. And we're going to actually talk about those a little bit more next week. It's an interesting element. It's very popular for, you know, freestyle swimming to have a monofin, but there's actually some people overseas that are starting to use monofins for some of their diving. I'm not so sure this is going to catch on. However, it's an interesting thing, and it obviously plays to our favor for our mermaids because they do use monofins in those tails. Because remember, they're not just pretty faces. Mermaid Abby, she looks good, sure, in a mermaid outfit. However, that girl can swim. She is an excellent free diver, great scuba diver.
I'm pretty sure mermaids are like half fish, aren't they?
They're like half fish, but you know, they have a lot of skills, a lot of special skills that they have to develop in order to be a scuba radio mermaid. And having the proper equipment is very, very important. What are you laughing at?
I'm just wondering.
Are you saying she doesn't have? We have not given her the proper equipment.
I didn't know that we were actually in charge of giving her the proper equipment. I thought most mermaids came to us previously equipped.
No, we've outfitted them with better, bigger, and better equipment. And Finis Monofins are one of the companies that have helped us with that.
Cool.
In my opinion, the mermaids came fully equipped, and we did not need to upgrade them at all. That's just my opinion.
Upgrade or enhanced? Maybe.
I'm just saying.
Well, okay, we'll leave it at that. We can say this because they're not in the studio and within kicking distance of us
right now. That's true.
All right, so till next week, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody!
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.